Hello, and welcome to another podcast by Touchstone Financial Education. My name is Elliot Cox, and for those of you who are my regular listeners, thank you for coming back once again. Yes, it's been a while since we put out a podcast, but we've been waiting for the markets to change a little bit, provide perhaps some new information or a slightly different perspective that we can use as investors. And so here we are after about a month of not recording. So thank you for listening once again. And for everybody here domestically and around the world, we truly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to us. You can find these podcasts on touchstonefinancialeducation.com, and we also post them on Spotify and Apple and Google. So please look out for us, and if you really enjoy it, please tell your friends and family. Also on the website, we do provide market updates. So between the podcasts, I will go ahead and write up a little something to add to the website so that you can stay abreast of what's going on. So thanks once again for listening, and let's get into it. Today, we're going to be discussing where to put your money in the new year. Now, the last quarter, I've been discussing bonds and interest rates and inflation just because that's where everybody has been. We're not going to do that today. We're going to leave bonds, interest rates, inflation, and the Fed on the table for just a second. So where do you put your money? A lot of folks got scared last year and they went to cash. And so they've got money sitting in money markets, and some of you have high yield savings accounts. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you're unsure, you're uncomfortable, or you don't know, by all means, go ahead and continue to sit on that cash. Now, does that mean that you need to leave it in your savings account attached to your checking if that's what you do, brick and mortar bank? Hey, that's great. But there are options out there for cash positions, for savings accounts, if you will. High yield savings accounts are excellent. And if you're looking for a high yield savings account, you know what? Check out bankrate.com. Excellent source of information for all high yield savings accounts in the country, as well as, by the way, certificates of deposits or CDs. We haven't talked about them in a very long time because interest rates have been so low. But for those of you who have been doing your homework, you know that these interest rates have come up, and these aren't bad places to put your cash if you don't need it. Now, the difference between a high-yield savings account and a CD is that a high-yield savings account, you could put in or take out whatever you want. And there might be some stipulations like deposit minimums, etc. Whereas on a CD, a certificate of deposit, you have to hold your money in that deposit for a certain period of time. 3 months, 6 months, so on and so forth. The longer you leave your money in the CD, the higher the interest rate earned on your cash. So not a bad place to keep the money, high yield CDs. And of course, for those of you who are my regular listeners, you know, we did a podcast on I-bonds, and that's another one where you have to hold them a year. I'm not going to go back into that. I would just refer you to the website as well as the podcast we did on bonds, and in particular, I-bonds. What I'd really like to talk about to you, what I'd like to talk to you about today are stocks and stock funds. Everybody's been afraid. Like I said, going through last year, it has been a tumultuous time in the market. No doubt about that. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The stock market has been slowly creeping up this year. And as I record this, the S&P 500 is up about 7% year to date. And the NASDAQ 100 is up almost 14% year to date. And I'll tell you, you're going to see that reflected in your first quarter statements on your retirement accounts. And for those of you who log in regularly or are more active in the markets, you've already seen that. And I wanted to start there because I think it's important to note that as the markets have turned around, the sentiment around investing is starting to slowly thaw, meaning people want to slowly come back into the market. So where do we look? Well, let's go back to the fourth quarter one more time. This is the third time in this podcast, but let's go back. So in the fourth quarter, what we saw happen was consumer staples as well as energy started to run. So for those of you who were conservative stock investors and you had the likes of Clorox or Procter & Gamble or value growth funds or high yield dividend income funds, you've seen a nice little pop in your accounts, probably more than you expected. And that's just because investors decided to jump back in to those stocks first because they had been beaten up. But guess what? We are on the precipice of another sector rotation. Now, what that means is that as people get more comfortable with the market and these sectors like energy, consumer staples, and to a certain extent, consumer discretionary as well, we see that people are moving into more aggressive components of the market like technology. And I'm going to note that 14% or almost 14% year to date in the triple Qs or the NASDAQ 100. So as we look for opportunity halfway through the quarter, after earnings season's over, we want to go ahead and take a look at that beaten up sector, technology. And even within technology, there's consumer services, there's chips, there's charging stations, there's electric vehicles. Now, not all of them are going to run at the same time, but it is worth taking a look because they have been beaten up for the last 16 to 17 months. There is interest once again in this sector, and it is reflected in the numbers. So as you put together a watch list, and this is very important, ladies and gentlemen, a watch list allows you to watch a few positions over a long period of time to help you determine where to place your money. And I like watch lists because it's almost as if I'm picking a stock to add to my portfolio, but I'm not committed to actually placing a trade or making the investment. So let's go ahead and put together that watch list of things that we might be interested in that you know have been beaten up. They haven't been looking good for well over a year, but now is the time to start taking a look. And I know you aggressive investors are already there. So this is more for you moderate and perhaps conservative investors. Please take a look at these more aggressive components of the market going into second quarter. Now, one thing I mentioned earlier is that earnings season just ended. So we know that some of these positions, especially in technology, these companies aren't making money. And we've all heard by now, hopefully, we've all heard by now, that there have been a lot of tech layoffs. And the layoffs so far seem to be limited to the tech sector. But guess what? That means they're reducing labor costs. So in time, the stock could potentially become more valuable. So we'll have to wait and see. Might not be ready to pull that trigger yet, but we're going to start putting together that watch list. Now, when we put together the watch list, it's a very broad way of looking at positions, but we need to narrow that down. So we're going to use fundamental analysis and we're going to use a little bit of technical analysis or momentum, if you will. And on this front, too, I have to refer you back to some previous podcasts where we discuss income statements, balance sheets, dividend paying stocks. All right. And all of this information can be found in the quarterly reports and annual reports of these companies. Now, does that mean you need to pore over all of these documents? No, not really. You could eyeball an income statement to see how much money they're bringing in, how much they spent, what analysts thought about these companies, and what investors are doing. How are they responding to this information? So, as you put together your watch list, hopefully you're on a platform that will populate your screen, your phone, etc., with information in and around these companies. Now, one of the things that's more difficult in this process is as we add companies to our watch list, is how do we use momentum or technical analysis to kind of round out our positions on this watch list? Well, there are many things that we could do. One of the things I like is looking at volume or volume indicators. Again, done a podcast about that too. So we've been doing this a while. So please go back and listen if you're really interested in the technical components. But take a look at volume, take a look at momentum, because that's also important, especially when we're talking about aggressive stocks or stock funds. Now, this does not necessarily include index fund investing. And for you index fund investors, excellent. Keep on keeping on, hold on, you're doing well. This is more for you aggressive investors who want to enhance your performance with either individual stock positions or actively managed ETFs. And yes, actively managed ETFs have a higher expense ratio, meaning they're more expensive because there's a team of stock pickers behind these funds. But that doesn't mean they are necessarily bad, especially when we're talking about beaten up sectors. We see some of these tech funds are even exceeding the performance of the triple Qs or the NASDAQ 100 year to date, which means that they have already done better than 14%. And let me put that into context. The average rate of return of the stock market is between 7 and 10% per year. And year to date, we're in the middle of February, we're already at 14 on the triple Qs and almost 7% on the S&P 500. And by the way, that S&P 500 performance is what I'm referring to when I'm talking about that 7 to 10% per year. So we're already hitting the market averages. Now, this doesn't mean that the markets are going to go down. This doesn't mean that we are out of the woods and everything is rosy and shiny and looking good. Not that at all. What this does provide is an impetus to take a look at the market, shore up our analysis so that we could take advantage of opportunities as we get more comfortable. Not everybody's an aggressive investor. Not everybody's a moderate investor. But it does make sense to go ahead and watch these more aggressive components of the market to help you determine where you'd like to place that cash that maybe is sitting in a high-yield savings account. Maybe it's sitting in a CD and it's coming due and you're looking for a better opportunity now because you're feeling better about the markets. You know, again, you might already see this reflected in your retirement accounts, in your brokerage accounts. So by all means, keep an eye out, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm already moving back into some tech positions that I've been watching for a very long time, and I've got some actively managed funds, like the ARK funds for a long time. Everybody was kind of hating on Cathie Woods. I get that. But her style of investing in very aggressive components of the market is sound, and her funds are even starting to turn around. So you look at some of these more aggressive funds like the ARK funds or funds that maybe Crane Shares, BlackRock, et cetera, these more aggressive fund families put out there, go ahead and take a look. It might be time to go ahead and add it, even if you are a moderate investor, even if you are an index fund investor. Please don't let this opportunity slip by, even if it's just a very small position to get your feet wet, to get you more comfortable with being more aggressive as momentum shifts in the market from a bear market back to a bull market. So we're not out of the woods yet. We are perhaps in transition here. And by the way, a bear market, for those of you who are new, is a market that is trading 20% below its most recent high, which would have been May last year. And we hit a bear market twice last year, once in June, and then we retested those lows in September. And now we're off to the races. And you could say, well, what about inflation? What about the Fed? What about all this? The reason I'm not including that today is because the markets have already priced in Fed action, meaning we know interest rates are going to go up higher and for a little bit longer, et cetera. That's already built in because you see, ladies and gentlemen, the thing the market does not like the most is uncertainty. You could have high unemployment, low unemployment, inflation, no inflation, foreign conflict, whatever the case may be, it's the uncertainty that kills the market. But if we know what's going to be happening or have an idea of what's going to be happening as investors, we're okay with that because we can strategize around that. And that's where that watch list comes in. That's where taking a look at those beaten up sectors and getting comfortable perhaps with a little bit more risk with a very small component of your portfolio going forward. The time is now. Something else I'd like to add, and this is very interesting. Like many of you, I've been curious about Chat GPT or other AI solutions. And I'll tell you, I went ahead and set up a screener based on a question I asked in Chat GPT. And what I was basically looking for were indicators to use for momentum or volume plays. Again, that's more on the technical side. And so what I asked was, I'm looking for a way to find stocks that are trading at or near their recent lows. And I'm going to use Bollinger's Bands, which is a volume indicator, and also fast stochastics. Now, don't have time to explain in detail both of those today, but what I would say, it's a way for you to see which positions have been beaten up. It's also a way to see which positions have higher than average trading volume going forward, meaning it looks like there's some interest from investors. And so ChatGPT spit out a few things for me, And one of the most significant things it did was said, take a look at technology, if you will, small cap stocks, because they tend to respond more favorably to a well thought out watch list using more of these standard, if you will, technical indicators, Bollinger's Bands, FastK, stochastics, etc. And actually, my list is doing pretty well. I'm going to hold out sharing the numbers because last week wasn't so good. I'm up, knock on wood, but I really want to dig in and see how valid and how reliable this watch list that I've created using ChatGPT is. So, by all means, I will keep you informed and I will write up a piece on my market update here in a week or so, and we can kind of see where things are. It's not the solution. There is never the solution to finding investment opportunities, but I would say it's an interesting way to enhance your analysis or to shortcut metrics, if you will. Let the AI platform show you how to integrate these things into your own strategy. Now, once we've got our watch list, and maybe you're playing with some AI platforms like ChatGPT, which I think is cool. And by the way, I've got no skin in the game with ChatGPT. Like many of you, I'm just curious. I would say kind of document what you have found, not just on your watch list, but please do this too. Please do this. Use stop loss orders. If you're going to venture in to the more risky components of the market, like tech, especially right now while volatility is still a little high, especially in this sector, but use those stop loss orders to limit the emotional involvement in placing your trades. Now, for those of you who don't know, or, excuse me, or didn't listen to any of my previous podcasts, stop loss orders are a way of placing a trade that says, hey, I've got a little bit of profit, or I want to minimize a loss, and I want an order executed once my stock perhaps starts to pull back. So let's say we bought a stock at five and it ran up to $9.50 a share. Really love the company. We've done our homework. We're feeling good about the position, but we know it might be time to protect some of those profits. So we can go back into our platform, enter a stop loss order, and let's say we're going to go ahead and enter that stop loss at $8.50. Once the stock pulls back to 850 or below, our order gets executed. We could be at work, we could be at home, driving in the car. We don't have to be engaged with our platform. We don't even have to be thinking about stocks to execute these trades. That's the beautiful thing about stop loss orders. So for those of you who are ready to jump back at the deep end of the pool right now, take a look at that watch list. Take a look at artificial intelligence platforms. And please, by all means, use those stop loss orders to minimize the loss. Like I said, we're not quite out of the woods yet, but there are some wonderful opportunities and things going on in the market that for you experienced investors, you're already seeing that. And by the way, I got to plug those actively managed ETFs again. I know the expense ratios are higher, but that is a great way to enhance your performance by investing in a fund that focuses on a narrow band of the market. So, guys, thank you once again for listening. I know we've been out of commission working on some things in the background. So, please take a look at our website, touchstonefinancialeducation.com. We've got a lot of things in the works that we're going to bring to you, like classes going forward and things. And we'll see how that kind of shapes up for the rest of the year. Thanks for listening and catching up with me after a month. And I'll tell you, my promise is this: I'm going to be putting out podcasts every 2 weeks. And between that, I'll go ahead and be adding to the market update page on the website. And hey, if you have any ideas or something you'd like to hear me talk about, we do have a suggestion component of our page now. Go ahead and reach out. We would really love to appreciate it. We're working hard to provide education on investing. And the more we hear from you, the better job we can do. And for those of you who already reached out to us, thank you so much domestically and abroad. It's wonderful to see. Again, my name is Elliot Cox. This is Touchstone Financial Education. Our website is touchstonefinancialeducation.com. Oh, and by the way, you guys could find me on LinkedIn too. That's fun. I like to see your faces because some folks have reached out to me, sent me messages. We truly appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, and thanks once again for listening.